What's so great about? What's so great about?
So great about the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Woohoo. We are talking, well, it's the start of a new mini-series. In the past, we've asked the question of what's so great about the MCU. We've asked what's so great about 90s action movies. We've asked what's so great about Ryan Gosling. We've asked what's so great about Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's bad movies. We've asked what's so great about Netflix. And we just closed the chapter on what was so great about Wes Anderson. So, start of a new mini-series. We're going to be asking the age-old question, what's so great about Nicolas Cage?
The question that has plagued philosophers for eons. We're going to answer it.
So much so that they did a whole thing in Community about it.
Did they?
They did a class where it was Nicolas Cage, good or bad.
Ah, and I forgot that. Like, I've been watching Community lately.
Just finished my whole series rewatch.
Hey,
just finished season 6.
Oh, I'm on 2.
I think it's season 5 where they do it, where it's they do a class on it, and Abed takes it, and your man, it's Professorson that's teaching it.
Watley.
And he's like, no more than 3 movies over 2 days. You know, spread them out.
Excellent.
Because you can't take it.
I'm very excited.
We're kicking things off with 1987's Raising Arizona, but we will get back to that a bit later. Let's just have a little check in. And what was that?
It was a Rock Shandy Zero can.
Well, they used to call you old Shark Tandy, Rock Shandy Andy.
Didn't come from nowhere. Well, actually, it did, but certainly wasn't the can.
Like so many of our ridiculous jokes.
Yeah. But how have you been, Terry?
Been pretty good. Been pretty good. It's been a week.
Good to hear it.
Yeah, nothing too exciting. A friend of mine was over from Ingerland during the week, so I went for a few pints with a friend of the podcast, Brian Arnold.
Hey, BA. Hey, Arnold.
But loves titles.
Excellent.
Oh, well, that's cool. So that was good. That was nice. A few pints during the week. Yeah, a few pints. Just no dinner. And then the next day I was MS for work and stuff like that. It was Thursday night. I can't do drinking on a midweek.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Jesus.
I can stay up fine, you know. But like literally.
You're paying for it.
Yeah. Well, staying up is okay. You know, I wake up. I could do 6 hours, 5 hours sleep. My body is kind of used to that now since becoming a father. Drinking, on the other hand, and then getting a very small amount of sleep is a different kettle altogether.
Well, they say you're borrowing the energy from the next day. That's what they say.
I tell you, I was going to work. It was a few minutes late out the door, but I got on the dart, and I still got to make it in, not late, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the dart was stuck between Kilester and Clontarf Road. There was some signal fault. So I was like, I ended up being like an hour late for work. But it did give me the time to have a quick power nap on the dirt while I was waiting.
Wow.
I was like,
a nap in the morning.
Just close my eyes here on the dirt for a few minutes.
I'd be terrified that I'd be like, end of the line.
I was very much, that was the, you know, every now and again. I wasn't moving for ages, so I was just like, just
God, I'd
eyes.
Be so stressed about that.
There's nothing
worse than like, because at least, like, if you're on a bus, I remember when we were coming back from Liverpool, me and Tony, and like, we were on this train from Liverpool to Manchester, we were leaving from Manchester Airport, and I was like, well, we're going to miss the flight. And it was just like, and you can't get out and make other plans. Like, you're just stuck there.
Was the train
there.
Delayed? Like,
it just stopped on the track for ages, and then it was going real slow. It's like, what's going on? And then, like, we got to Manchester Airport 5 minutes before the flight was due to leave. Like, never been
and
in the airport.
And they still let you on?
Amazingly, we made it. We were legging it, Home Alone style. And, like, there was other people also obviously trying to catch the flight. There was, like, kids crying. The dad's like, just like, it's fine, it's fine.
Come on.
It was so stressful. But yeah, that's the problem with the train. But, yes.
You get that little nap.
Yeah, oh God, I'd be too stressed. If I'm going to be late, I'd be far too stressed to nap. I'd be climbing the rails.
Like, I got home, I think I got home about 1:30, 1:40, So you're talking probably like 5 hours sleep at most.
Yeah.
Not good. And like stinking, like still kind of on that line of like, am I still drunk?
Yeah,
you know, that
if you were driving, you'd be questioning yourself.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be driving. You know, like.
Oh, very good. Well, listen,
have you been up to anything?
Listen, I've been watching a few things. Two things. I'll be very quick about it. One, I noticed there's a new stand-up special on Netflix. Your pal Ricky Gervais' Super Nature, is that what it's called? Yeah. Now, I'm a big Ricky Gervais fan, I have to say, right? However, I didn't care for the stand-up.
It's terrible. I heard it's awful.
Did you?
It was a big backlash to a bunch of transphobic stuff, which seems to be Netflix's go-to.
I know.
You get it. Like, you get a 90 minutes comedy special greenlit if you tell them they have transphobic jokes. Oh, I'm listening.
That side of things, like, you know, was like, whatever. Like, that's, you know, at no point where I was like, I can't believe he said that.
But it was just one jot.
Yeah, but it was just like my biggest complaint was just that it just wasn't funny, like, and the whole thing, like, since the Grammys, his shtick seems to be like, what's the maddest shit I can say?
What envelope can I push the most?
Yeah, and like, I just don't think he seems to have doubled down on that.
But he's not edgy.
It just kind of, you know, like, Animals and like the early stand up was like really funny, like it was, you know, funny stand up.
It was clever.
Yeah, and like now it's just. I didn't find myself laughing a whole lot.
My huge thing with him is he tries to convince everyone that he's like this outsider, this guy, and he, you know, and he's not like, as if he's not like a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, no, he does joke about that all the time. That's also part of his shtick of like, I'm super rich and you're not. But
cool. How does that make you edgy? How does that make you, you know?
It just didn't make you work.
Bill Hicks or like, yeah. you know.
And I remember there's a thing written on, like, I think the Comedy Store wall in LA of like, just in big writing, stop trying to be Bill Hicks for all comics.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, you know, it didn't. And I was there. I was ready to laugh. I was like, great. A new, like, first day it was released, I was saying to Kerry, oh, there's a new Ricky Gervais special. Like, great. We'll watch that tonight. But man, we weren't laughing at it. Like, that was the biggest crime for me. But
it's hard to find good stand-up these days, isn't it?
It is. Like, now, I will say, you may have noticed Bo Burnham released a bunch of stuff from...
I haven't got around to watching it yet.
It's great. As you'd expect, and like I find myself now, I'm part of that group where I'm like, Bo Burnham's got some new stuff out, like, you know, where it's like, stop everything and let's watch it. And like, it was
all the outtakes, all the stuff he didn't use for, like, Inside.
Yeah, it's stuff he didn't use, and there's some songs that he didn't use, and there's like more of him kind of like setting up. And it's funny because you hear like Problematic, but it was like a totally different song lyrically. It was about something totally different, but the tune was the same. And things like that, and so like
There was a little thing about jeans.
Yeah, that
I thought
funny.
That was pretty funny.
So it's definitely, and the fact that it's on like YouTube, he kind of has fun with it. Like, he pretends like there's an ad coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, but you can't skip it, and then it turns into something completely different for that like 20 seconds, and then it's back to it. And also, it's as you'd expect. It's very clever and very funny, so I would highly recommend that. I think he's put out this new album, not a new album, but he's like on Spotify. I think you can get like Inside the extended version now, where it's like all the
I think he's releasing it as an album as well. I follow him on Twitter. His Twitter is very much just him plugging his stuff.
Same with Instagram. Like, and I love that. He's not on it until like he's just got something to say. He's like, hope he's enjoy it, thanks. And then he's gone again. And I'm like, yes, yes. You know what?
Kind of the way it should be.
I actually got my first bit of internet hate there over the weekend from my...
Now, I think I saw this. Was this to do with the Cantona thing?
Yeah, so I put out this video of, you know, Jonathan Pierce's outrageous reaction to Cantona kicking that fan.
Very funny, Andy, I have to
thank
say.
You.
Your facial expressions are very good.
That was the toughest one by far because it was like 55 seconds of like...
Did so well to memorize the whole thing.
Thank you. But then it was someone just put a link. There was two people put up the same link, right? One person put underneath Faye's comment, just said, educate yourself.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, who's this dickhead?
And it was the link. But someone else just posted that link. And it had gotten a few likes. And so I read it. I was like, what is this? And apparently it was like basically a year after that happened, some United scumbags like attacked these Palace fans in a pub and like... The Palace fans were trying to get back on the bus and the driver panicked and tried to drive away and ended up like driving over one of them and killing them or something. And so I was like, Jesus, that's horrible. So I thought, well, maybe he's just posting that just FYI sort of thing. And so I just replied like, Jesus, that's horrible. And then he not only like he quote tweeted me. So this came up on his timeline. It was just like, don't care for your reply, mate. Delete your video off TikTok and Twitter if you think that's so horrible. And I was like, I had so much I wanted to say back. I was just like,
don't
just
feed
block
the beast.
I was like, just block. I was like, I very much subscribe to Limmy's BAMO block and move on policy. So I was just like what I really wanted to say was like, no, I'm not going to delete that. But thanks for quote tweeting us, so everyone knows what a great guy you are. But it was just like, I was like, I'm not even going to get involved. And I was just like, I'm just going to block and move on.
Like, what? That very tenuous. It's such a like a hop, like, a skip, and a
as if to imply that I'm condoning this information that I didn't know, that because some scumbags use that as an example to, if it wasn't,
it
that would have been,
it has nothing
else
to do with the Jonathan Pierce commentary. Yeah. That's the joke, you fucking,
you know,
idiot.
It's about the outlandish
on the
commentary.
Internet. The people on
and
the
that's
internet.
Why. That's the thing. I was only saying to you there the week before. I was like, I don't know about Twitter, like, because like it's just, it's such a fucking cesspit, you know. And anyone looking, it's like I remember Blind Boy always had a great like line. It was like, it's just a place where it's like a game where like the best complaint wins, and that's basically what everyone is using it for. It's like who has the best complaint that other people are like, yes, that is worth, you know, blah blah blah. But I just thought this like, come on, like. So I was just kind of like, all right, you know, but it was kind of a bit I was thinking to myself, should I, you know, did I, you know, like where you're thinking like, am I a terrible person now? But and then I was like, no, that's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck off. Like, last thing I'll say though, that I was watching only today, Jurassic Park, Terry. Now I'll be very quick.
I have this on my list as well.
It was on TV or whatever, and I'm just in awe of this movie now. I mean, more so even, I caught loads that I didn't catch the previous time.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing, and I just thought, like, it looks like this was in 93 as well. This was nearly 30 years ago now.
We watched we were actually just flicking around. I have it on my list here of, I got the movie channels.
Yeah.
Now TV offered it. €3 a month for 6
here
months.
We go.
You can't beat them, folks. That's Now TV. Right, so we have the entertainment package, which is like £12, and the TV, which is £3, or the movies, which is £3. So we get all live movie channels. And it popped up, Jurassic Park was on the thing yesterday. We came in about 20 minutes from the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like it literally is the scene where they're in the visitor center,
yeah,
eating the food, and then the whole, we're like, oh, this is the best scene, the fucking raptors and the kids,
yeah,
and all. Like, but we're saying, and I really want to watch the whole thing again, but like,
brilliant.
Like, it's puppets, that's what fucking makes it
well
tangible.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I was like, it looks better than any than stuff you see now, like
the new ones,
than the new Jurassic Park, than the new anything. Like, and I was going to ask you, like, is this what we were talking about before, of like just the time and the craft of making these animatronic, like the T-Rex looks so good even still. Like, one or two things where they do use CGI where you think, okay, I can see
the T-Rex and the raptors at the end is CGI,
But and there's a, you know, the, a like, few of the
raptors like popping his head through the fucking porthole window is a, it's an animatronic, and you're like, well, give me that any day in the week.
Yeah, and like, is it like hugely more expensive? Is that why they don't do it? It's just that
I don't know. You would think like. I think it's probably more time consuming, and that probably adds to the expense. You know what I mean? As opposed to, like, I would just stick the fucking the gloop glorps there beside you and we're away. Like, you know, like
that kind of thing. It just, the difference it makes to a movie standing the test of time, like, you know.
But like, even like, I was like, oh, 20 minutes. Okay. So, and I was like, oh, so just really what has to happen is the raptor thing. And then I was like, but then how do they end it again? And it's literally 20 minutes, then the T-Rex comes in and, you know, gets rid of the raptors, and they jump on a fucking buggy and then get on a helicopter and they're out. And there's no fucking 40-minute epilogue of, you know, it's just you're out there flying away over the ocean and you see the fucking birds. And it's
not
like,
relaxing, but they're all like, oh, we made it.
That's it. And I'm like, yeah, fucking perfect. There's like,
exactly.
It's what, 2 hours? Impeccably paced movie.
It is impeccably paced.
The bits I remember at the start, like all the shit with like these great character actors, like, and that was the other thing I was saying to Faye, that like you have your three stars are Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
it's not, you're not putting fucking Sylvester Stallone or Tom Cruise in it or whatever. It was like you just put. You know, and they're movie stars for a different reason, but he was like, no, like the dinosaurs are the star of this movie, the technology, the filmmaking. It's not going to
be starring blah blah blah, his face on the front or something. But
you put three very good actors in there, and you know you're not going to get let down. Like,
perfectly cast, perfectly directed, like perfectly written story as well.
It's a fucking rogues gallery. Well, it certainly helps that like David Koepp is one of the best screenwriters, modern screenwriters of all time. Like, he wrote that.
He wrote
Jurassic Park. He wrote Spider-Man. He's actually back writing a few ones recently that I thought were great. But he's just, he understands the craft so well. And they got Michael Crichton to write it with him as well.
He did the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, and the studio got him to write the sequel book.
Right.
It wasn't written. Like, he wrote the sequel book that they could adapt into the movie.
Wow.
So they said, look, we're going to pay you. You put out this book within 2 years.
He did the Lost World book?
Yeah, he did the Lost World book, and then he did the Lost World screenplay.
Because they were the two best ones, like.
Yeah, it's no, the rest after that, like, is garbage. Like
I thought three was okay.
Three is bad.
Is it bad now? I remember at the time thinking, like, yeah, it's fine, you know.
Three is kind of weird because, do you remember at the very end, it's just like they race out of the jungle and then all of a sudden it's like a bunch of tanks are on the beach. Or something like that. And you're like, what? And that's it. It's like, they're like, we're running out of runway here. Let's just end it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we can't find an ending. Here's an ending.
But it was just such a joy to watch it. And there was loads of the adult talking bits that I would have overlooked as a kid. Like, where I'm even, like, that's very
like
clever.
That, or like
that's,
the stuff with Nedry, where he's like, don't get cheap. That's what...
Don't get cheap on me, Datsun.
yeah, Datsun. Don't get cheap on me, Datsun. That was, what the fuck is his name? Hammond's mistake.
And yeah,
like the whole thing with Hammond, you're like this like doddery old fucking con man almost. You know, I had a flea circus when I was starting out.
Yeah, all that. Like, I missed all that when I was growing up. Like, I wouldn't even have copped that if you'd have quoted that to me.
We should do Spielberg down the line, because I know you're not huge. Like, if I named you 10 Spielberg movies, you're like, that was him. I think I've definitely got
some blind spots. I think I would love it. I would love a Spielberg series,
to be honest. The fucking best. Have you ever seen Jaws?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but, like, have you ever actually, like, properly?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we've all seen it as kids.
I've seen it, but I haven't seen it.
Like, I remember going to see it on the big screen a few years ago with Faye, and she had never seen it at all.
And oh, nice.
When I went to see it, I was like, I think this might be the best movie I've ever fucking seen. Like, when I went to see it, I was like, this is unreal. It's like a perfect movie. Like, you know.
Yeah, he really nails it. Like,
he is, for all the kind of shit people give him lately, or like, you know, he really if you think about it, he's been going since the 70s. He has had five decades of, like, pretty much unimpeachable success.
Yeah.
Like, he's for every one that's not great, he'll have two more that you're like, that's a fucking... Like even... He did those ones in the 2010s. He did Bridge of Spies, and he did The Post. They're kind of talky movies, but they both star Tom Hanks, and they're both fucking excellent.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is nobody talking about how good these movies are? Like, you're just kind of like, oh, Spielberg did another kind of political movie, whatever, you know.
He's on the Mount Rushmore, if to borrow any expression, but you know, even just rightly, if you
could say, just for, you know, Jaws, Jurassic Park, you don't even, like, then he did all the Indiana Jones ones. You know, Close Encounters, E.T., like,
some
just
of the most, like,
famous
classic
ones of all time. Like,
excellent. Well, listen, have you been up to anything yourself, or have you been watching?
Not really. I had Jurassic Park on my list to talk about because I was just like, look at us, fucking unreal. But I tell you what, we also watched another, I don't want to say classic because I don't know if it holds up so well.
Go on.
But since he's in the news lately, we were checking out Maverick. We watched the original Top Gun.
I thought you were talking about the movie Maverick starring Mel Gibson.
I do love that movie.
I got very excited there.
I did own it on DVD.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Maverick is it's good. It's a good time. Good time.
I love Maverick. I'd love to see that again. What a great movie.
My pappy used to always say.
I got a great laugh playing poker in yours. from Maverick.
Show your goddamn card, Maverick.
Kind of game you play, Maverick? Look at your goddamn card.
Yeah.
We watched
Top Gun.
I haven't seen it.
It's good. It's good.
Is it good?
You know what?
Doesn't hold up?
It's kind of ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you see, like, oh, Tom Cruise is a fucking star. Like, this 1986, the year I was born. Tom Cruise is a fucking star. Val Kilmer, yes, he's a star. Meg Ryan, it's like one of her first movies. And you're like, she's only in it for like 10 minutes. I was like, fucking hell, she's unreal.
Is Kevin Costner in that one?
No. But playing Goose, Mr. Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. Dr. Green from Eeyore. Were you an Eeyore guy when you were growing up?
I was not, to be honest, no. I'm not familiar with it. Was he one of the two? Was that him with Clooney in Friends?
No,
when they
that was Noah Wiley. And Anthony Edwards, no?
Hang on. Anthony Edwards.
But
I don't think I know him.
He's amazing. He's in this movie. Yeah. I was like he's the best thing in this movie. I thought he was fucking like it's Maverick and Goose. Goose is the Rio, who's the guy who basically, you know, he sits behind the pilot and he tells him, "Oh, we got this guy on our tail," or whatever like that, you know.
Yeah.
The two of them have great chemistry. It's interesting because it's all like footage. I guess it's stock footage of like fighter jets, and then it'll cut to them in the cockpit, and it's like he's on my tail,
right?
You know, I can't shake him. You know, but it's a fun little movie for the 80s. It was a huge hit in the 80s. You can see why, but it also is like, if you didn't grow up on it, if you're watching it for the first time, you'd be like, this is weird. How is this such a success? You can see that, like, all these future movie stars are in it. You know what I mean? But, like,
it just doesn't quite, like...
I'm excited. We're going to go see the new one. You know, it's...
it's supposed to be good, isn't it?
It's supposed to be excellent. And it opened to, like, $150 million, which was Tom Cruise's biggest opening weekend ever.
Whoa!
And...
he's back!
I mean, the drop this week was 33%, which is a tremendous hold. They say, say if you look at Doctor Strange, open to 180 million, it dropped like 67% because its next weekend was 70 million or something. You know, I don't know if that math checks out, but this one they were saying, it said it was on for a 33% drop, which is the shortest drop for a movie that opened over 100 million ever.
Wow.
So they're like, it could potentially be the biggest hit of the summer.
Crazy.
Like they're saying.
And does Tom Cruise use de-aging in that?
No.
He looks fantastic.
it's weird. We watch the trailer, it's like, he looks brilliant. And then you see him in real life and you're like, what's with his teeth and his face and all that? But this was filmed maybe, like, it's been pushed back. It was supposed to come out 2020.
Right.
So you probably think they had it in the can, like, 2018.
Right,
so like four or five years maybe. Because
I was thinking, they must have perfected the de-aging or something.
No, de-aging. No.
You could tell me almost this was a prequel, and I believe it. He looks fantastic.
So that looks really good. Like, we're excited to go see it.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I would say, I don't know if Top Gun is on Prime. We watched it on Now TV.
Right.
Or if, you know, it's on Netflix or whatever.
Do you think if I watched it, would I enjoy it?
It's 104. It's an hour 40 minutes. So you know,
it's within.
What is quite enjoyable is they have the Maverick theme, you know,
yeah.
But then the soundtrack is pretty much like three other songs, and they play them all the time. So it's like,
I like that
Danger Zone,
but do 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 the
highway. That's like played constantly, or like Take My Breath Away is, you know,
yeah, that's it.
But like sometimes he's just like riding around on his bike, and like that's playing. Nice. You know, like that like kind that. Of stuff.
The then, difference, yeah. Go on. What's the
and then the third one is they're having the shirtless volleyball scene.
Yeah,
and it's like playing with the but like it's so funny that it's like. Because like Faye was like, oh, I'm going to go. I think she was like, I'm going to get a drink. I was like, I'm going to pause it because the scene is just coming up. And she's like, no, let it play. He's like, no, you don't want to miss the volleyball scene. And then she was like, why did you make me watch that? Like, I thought there was like something dramatic was going to happen. And it was just real like, and I was like, homoerotic. She was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's the whole thing with this weird movie. Yeah. That it's like,
if you see the movie, it's worth seeing it for that. It's worth seeing that scene because that's a very talked about scene.
Exactly. Yeah. Of the 80s. Or like there's bits in it where it's like, Val Kilmer, he's like, you're dangerous, Maverick. And he, you know, like they're like coming like face to face, like so closer, like, and they're like, yeah, like that like weird like bite thing.
But like, it's mad the difference, and they really utilized it in the 80s. I was only thinking it with Jurassic Park, like, not to go back to Jurassic Park again, but
that's 93, man.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. But was that John Williams?
John Williams is Jurassic Park. Yeah.
The difference.
Yeah.
He makes one, but I mean, any good sort of score or soundtrack or whatever, but like the difference that score makes to the movie, you know what I mean? Like,
that's an iconic score. And I will say, in a much different way, the score in this movie has been rattling around in my brain since I watched it in
Raising Arizona,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, is that a perfect segue?
That's
to
a perfect cue, maybe, to get into.
Nice. Okay.
Son, you got a panty on your head. Just drive fast, eh?
Turn to the right.
The first time I met Ed was in the county lockup in Tempe, Arizona.
You're a flower, you are.
A day I'll never forget.
I do.
You bet I do.
Okay, then.
My lawless years were behind me. Our child-rearing years lay ahead. But biology conspired to keep us childless.
You go right back up there and get me a toddler. I need a baby hide. I got more than I can handle.
At the time, Ed's little plan seemed like the solution to all our problems. And the answer to all our prayers.
He's beautiful.
What? Are you kidding? We got us a family here.
I want Nathan Jr. back.
What's his name?
Ed Jr.
Hi, Jr.
So far, we've just been using Jr.
We call him Jr.
He's out there somewhere.
Hold on, Nathan. We're gonna go pick up Daddy.
I'll be taking these Huggies and, whatever cash you got.
You busted out of jail.
We released Krashaz on our own recognizance. What Evel here is trying to say is that we felt the institution no longer had anything to offer us.
We got a child now. Everything's changed.
Yeah! Where's Junior?
Who the hell are you?
man.
We're absolutely going to get him back. Just ain't no question about that.
Give me that baby, you warthog from hell!
And you want to know another thing? I'm going to be a better person from here on out. Let's go get Nathan Jr.
Raising Arizona, a comedy beyond belief.
Well, it ain't Ozzie and Harriet.
That was, of course, the trailer for Raising Arizona, the 1987 film directed by Joel Coen and written by Ethan Coen. Produced by both of them, a.k.a. the Coen brothers.
Is this their first venture as the Coen brothers?
No, that mean the way, that's the way it works. Joel directs most of them. Ethan is producer and writer.
Oh, you know, okay.
Or they sometimes write it. A lot of times they write it together as well. But Joel, they always go as a pair, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's the new Coen brothers movie, but most of the time it's Joel Coen directing it.
Okay.
The budget, care to take a stab, Andy?
1987, you say?
This is their second ever movie, by the way.
8 million?
5.5.
Well... Does that count? No, it's not within 10%. If we're going by the new rules.
The ones you imposed.
Damn it.
Now,
okay.
Opening weekend.
He's just no funny business.
There is funny business. Because their opening weekend was to one screen.
Okay, well, $5,000?
No, I skipped that. I skipped that one. But okay. So the next weekend opened to 20 screens.
$120,000.
$425,831.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm off.
Domestic total?
Domestic total, 12 million.
22.
Okay. Do you have worldwide?
I do. Care to take a stab?
28.
22.
It was a trick question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 22. In 87, would that have been considered a hit? Well, it made its budget back, I guess.
And then some. You know, it's a big hit, you know.
Okay.
Care for some...
I'd love some fun facts. Thank you, Terry.
After meeting with the Coens, Nick Cage agent told him that they were not interested in casting him. However, he eventually convinced them by auditioning multiple times and basically begging them for the part.
Wow. And was he an established actor at this point?
He had done some movies. Like,
was he a lead in any of them?
He was a co-lead in a couple. Like, I'm reading my fabulous book, The Age of Cage.
Of course.
There he is.
Your virtual screen is just highlighting Nicolas Cage and not the book. For extra impact. Go on.
So they kind of talk about how he started out as Kim Coppola. Because, of course, he is related. He's the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola.
Is everyone related to Francis Ford Coppola? Wasn't that in the Wes Anderson thing as
Jason
well?
Jason Schwartzman is related. Roman Coppola, yeah. You
Jesus.
Know.
He got around.
No, it's their family. You know, it's a big family.
Okay.
It's like, it's his, like... Francis Ford Coppola's brother is Nick Cage's son. No, Nick Cage is Francis Ford Coppola's brother's son. His nephew.
Okay. Okay.
But he changed his name to Nick Cage because people were kind of talking as if he was getting the roles
He
was
didn't
family.
Want...
Yeah, he didn't want that.
Okay.
And I think he was, one of his first roles was working on a Francis Ford Coppola movie. And somebody rang up while he was on the movie asking could they release this actor that's working for them, Nick Cage. And Coppola was like, I don't know who that is. Who are you looking for? And he's like, oh, that's my new name, Uncle Frank. So he'd done a few with Francis Ford Coppola as well. Like, he wasn't averse to taking roles in his pictures. But this he'd done Peggy Sue Got Married, which probably would have been one of his biggest hits, which was him and Kathleen Turner. So he played the kind of the male love interest in it. But it wouldn't be like Nick Cage opening the movie.
Right, okay.
As it would be 10 years later in the 90s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even after they cast him, things did not go exactly smoothly. Cage described the Coens as autocratic and felt very frustrated that they would not let him see his dailies. So the dailies are the performance, you know, the, whatever you film at the end of the day.
Oh, so like some directors, sometimes the actors can go back and show you what you've done today on how it came across.
Some directors are like, yeah, come on in, and some are like, fuck off.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. These guys, the Coens, this is only their second movie, and they, I don't know, if you think about it, they have
I can see that. I can see why a director wouldn't want to do that.
They have a band of people that work with them, you know, like Clooney's worked with them a bunch of time, Brad Pitt, Frances McDormand, you know, there's a bunch that come back, and this is the only movie Nick Cage did with them.
Right.
So, you know.
Interesting. I think I side with the Coens on that one, because it's kind of like asking, it's kind of like a wedding photographer taking photos and then you being like, oh, can I actually see that one? No. I'm, you know,
it's my job.
I'm doing my thing here. Yeah. I'm doing my job, pencil neck. Don't tell me how to do it. Anyway, go on.
In 2018, speaking to GQ magazine, Cage recalled a discussion between himself and Joel Coen, and Joel Coen basically telling him, you know, I could have hired Kevin Costner for this part. Cage's response was, yeah, why did you hire me then? I think Costner auditioned 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have been.
You can see why they hired him. I will say that.
Okay.
Cage often cites Woody Woodpecker as his inspiration for HI. So much so that he wanted his haircut to react to his stress level. The bigger the danger, the bigger his hair, how the slick at his hair
now
was.
That you mention it, I can see that.
He himself and Sam McMurray, he's the guy from Friends, you know, bang!
Yes,
Chandler's boss, were out for dinner, and somebody recognized them, so she begged Nicolas Cage to sign an autograph. And he did, but he said, what did he say? He said, to Martha, tomorrow you will die, Nick Cage. Kind of gives you a bit of an insight.
So he was already like that anyway.
Oh, he's like a strange dude.
An eccentric chap.
Yes, yeah.
Because I thought that kind of came later. I thought that came in like 2000 onwards.
No, like he kind of has this, like that, like just if we talk about like Peggy Sue Got Married, his uncle, who's Academy Award winner Francis Ford Coppola, was saying, no, you need to play the movie, you need to play it this way, and he rebelled against every choice that he made, and people praised him for his performance. They were like, wow, that's really good. But it was like people were talking about like how he's just doing that to rebel, not because he thinks the performance needed it. I don't know. I think like sometimes it speaks for itself, and sometimes
less, you should have listened.
Less so, yeah.
Okay.
There's a few other shots, but it's a few other things, mostly of technical stuff.
I don't mind the technical stuff, Terry.
Okay, let me see. I have one here. Wanting to have as many options as possible in the editing room, the Coens and their cinematographer Barry Sonnenfeld decided at one point to have HI run through the house while holding a camera towards himself. That was during the chase sequence.
Right.
And they decided it looked far too weird. So they
really
scrapped it.
So they scrapped it because it looked too weird. Okay. Just want to be clear on that. Okay.
Yeah. Look, to be honest, that kind of tells me something there. Maybe we should just get into talking about it.
Okay, great.
I want to know your opinion on this movie, Andy.
Okay, well, look, I didn't take a huge amount of notes for this. I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this movie? What the hell? I didn't think we'd be starting so weird. I thought, okay, we'll get his bankable, you know, big movies, and then we'll get to the weird shit in the second half of the series or something like that. Right out the fucking gate. Mental.
Did
mental
you like
movie.
It?
No, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, actually.
Whoa.
It was zany, yes. It was madcap.
It's a cartoon.
And all this. But comedy, like, I don't think I even smiled once. Here's what I thought. I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it had a heart. I didn't think it was well acted. I didn't think it was well directed. I didn't think any of these things. I just didn't get it. I was looking
I'm
at it like,
losing it here. Holy shit.
I didn't like it. I was like, what's going on? Like, you know what it was? I didn't like the characters, and I didn't dislike any of the characters. I was just indifferent. I was just like, I don't know what they were even trying to make me feel watching this movie.
I have to push back on the no heart. The whole
what's
thing
the
is heart.
Heart. Rob a baby.
Yeah, but like,
am I supposed to care what they think? Like, their whole logic is like, oh, they have more babies than they can handle. Like, we'll take one. And then we're supposed to care about them being this normal family raising this kid.
First of all, okay, hold on. It's a cartoon.
Yeah, it is a cartoon.
It's a cartoon, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, the heart is between Ed and H.I. And, like, even H.I. being like, it was very hard to do things with that damn bastard Reagan in the White House.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. People say he's a good man. Maybe he just has some bad advisors. Like, he can't even follow through on, like, hating, you know, like, he's like, oh, I hate Reagan. Well, I don't know. I don't really hate him. Like, you know, maybe he's just misunderstood. Like, that sums up his character.
Explain to me what's so great about this movie. What's in any way good about this movie?
Where do I start? Like,
please, I'm all ears.
Did you not even think I tracked it. 11 minutes in, you get the credits.
I was like,
I've seen this movie once and I thought it was okay.
Right.
I'm a huge Coen Brothers guy, and like, this is, I was one of the ones that, like, I only watched it a few years ago. I was a blind spot. I'd heard it was brilliant.
Yeah, and I was googling reviews, like, epic masterpiece.
It's Edgar Wright's favorite film of all time.
What's going on?
And the first time, I don't know if it was just the copy I was watching or whatever, and the ending kind of cut off for me as well.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched it the first time. But I was like, oh, okay, I liked it. I liked it all right. And then when I watched it this time, I was like say, the first 11 minutes, when the thing kicked in, I was like, brilliant. Chef's kiss. Like, that's how you do the...
Like, I was kind of...
For the rest of the fucking movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was kind
of
like, yeah, like, I didn't get the sense that it was going to be... I don't know what I expected, but I was going in ready to enjoy it, and I was like, yes, a nice 80s sort of caper.
Yeah.
And I was like, I loved even the whole setting. I thought Arizona looked great. I loved that Raising Arizona, like, you know, title thing. I was like, oh, great, like, brilliant. Okay, Gran, and now she's taken so much to life a crime.
Holly Hunter, who is brilliant.
She was great. She was actually quite good.
She's brilliant. She's always brilliant.
What else was she in?
Let's see. Did you see... It wouldn't have seen Broadcast News. No. What is she in recently that you... Are you still watching Succession?
Yeah. Well, season 2.
Yeah, how far are you in season 2? She's in season 2.
About halfway.
She, like, becomes an advisor to... The Roys in season 2.
She's not your one who with the blonde.
Yeah.
Who works with the glasses at the end of her nose, like that one?
No, that's Jerry. No, she's an outsider that comes in to kind of.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've gotten to her being in it yet. She's in 13. Did you see that movie?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've seen that.
She's the mom that's kind of like always trying to be young and stuff like that. Like, she's always great. Like,
I didn't understand. I was like, what is this? What am I supposed to, like, feel here. Like, it was just mad.
It's funny.
I was thinking, this is going to be a long fucking series. If this is where we're starting, but I was like, grand, we'll bank a few solid ones and then fine, show me the mad shit. But the thing is, Andy, at the gate, we've got this.
It's like, it's going to be different directors the whole time. So it will be changing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, we're not doing the Coens yet. And just think about it. When we do the Coens, we won't have to do this film.
Great.
Because we already done. You know?
But like, I got the impression that it was supposed to be funny. But it's
very funny.
I honestly didn't even exhale through my nose. And I was ready. I wasn't going in fucking, because I was thinking, great, 90 minutes and it's on Disney Plus. I don't have to torrent it or stream it or anything like that. I was like, grand, like, great. And then I was just like, I'm just looking at it. I'm just like, I don't understand. I don't understand what bits are supposed to even make me laugh. But you know what I mean? Am I crazy?
Yeah, you're crazy. You are crazy. You are crazy.
Why is it good? Why is it a good movie?
I think it's...
What is it? What is
everything
that
everything
you
like said, I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite. I think he's incredible in it. Like, I think there is a bunch of heart in it. I think it looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, like, literally, like, the location looked good, yeah.
I think it's really funny and really inventive, and, like, you kind of, like, caught up in it. Like, how did you not find it even funny where it's, like, all of a sudden they all just start screaming, like, where's the baby? Like,
I don't know, maybe just by that stage I was just, like, it just seemed too, like, it seemed like everything was, like, the first take.
I disagree.
That's what it seemed like to me. It just seemed too, like, I don't know if it's, like, predictable now because, you know, maybe it was at the time, not so much.
Nothing is predictable about this film. Are you kidding me?
Not even the way the story goes, but just the kind of the jokes or, like, the... It just didn't make me laugh at all. And I was just... I wasn't at all what I expected. I thought it was going to be, like, because we were starting with, like... You know, these, you know, the 80s, 90s ones, I thought it would be like a big sort of blockbuster hit or something. I thought it was going to be
and it's critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
I was looking
about 60 minutes in, I was like, let me have a look here. I was looking at IMDb's user reviews because that's how you can usually get a sound. And everything was like, perfect movie. I think it might be the funniest movie I've ever seen in my life. And
it's so good, Andy. Like, do you know I think it's like really funny where he's like, and this is kind of the technique I love about it. Was like, when they're driving in the car, it's just they're driving, it's blackness around.
Yeah.
And they're like, Junior needs some Huggies. I'm going to get some. And then he's like, he's just like putting the thing on his head. He's like, come on now, I'm in a bit of trouble with the missus. When she's like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, when she gets out of the car,
bitch. He's like, come on now, hurry up. That scene is so funny, where it's like him like running, the kid is then chasing him with the gun, like the clerk, and then the cops show up. And then like he gets in the car with the old guy. He's like, go fast. Like, so manic, so crazy. Like,
it's kind of like with the some of the Wes Anderson stuff. Like, when you say, like, you saying that is funnier than it was me watching it. You know what I mean? Like, on paper, if you'd have told me that, it seems funnier than the movie did. Whatever it was, maybe I was just so thrown by the fact that, like, and also, like, it seemed like they didn't even need to rob a child. You know what I mean? It was just like,
well, she's barren and they can't get any adoption.
Yeah, but it seemed like that could have been something else, because it didn't even seem like that was... Maybe I was totally wrong, but it didn't even seem like that was a huge part of the story even. Like, you know what I mean? Like it
that
felt
is
like
the
they could
part
have
of the story.
Yeah, but I just felt like they could have... It's a big leap to just rob a child, and it's so like blasé, like how they...
That's what's funny about it as well.
Is
like,
it? Like, yeah. And then, you know, the whole thing about, like, no one seems
it's
to...
It's a farce, like, and when they get...
It's a farce, all right.
Yeah, and then whenever, like, because they only have the baby, this is what's so great about it. It's like, they only have the baby, and she's like, I love him so much. Like, she's literally set eyes on it, and then that happens again. Like, even, I thought it was so funny when he's like, oh, he's a wild one. Like, she's like, no, he's a good boy. No, he's not that good. You can see it in him. Like, you know, he's putting all his stuff on him, and then, like, you know, John Goodman and William Forsythe show up as the two brothers.
I was a bit let down by them. I thought, okay, they're gonna be funny. They're gonna be great, the comic. Am I taking people? If you've watched this, am I alone here? Because I know I'm not always alone. There's people out there who sometimes agree with what I'm saying.
Did you not?
Has anyone seen this movie? Does anyone like? Because you even said yourself, you thought,
I thought it was okay the first time. First time I thought, but this time around I was like, and I understand. I don't know if I was kind of half watching it the first time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I was like, huh, what? You know, what is this? And this time I was kind of like, oh, I know what I'm in for. It's a farce. It's a cartoon. Yeah. And even like you see like John Goodman like bursting out of the fucking sludge.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
And then he's like pulling his brother up by the leg. Like,
yeah. Upside down.
I just think that's so fucking striking, so funny looking. Like,
I think I was just so thrown about like 20 or 30 minutes in. I'm like, this is the movie? Mm. And then, so after that, I'm like, I'm still just watching it, like, huh? So any I'm missing the jokes because I'm just like, what?
But like, they know, Andy, they know it's not like good what they're doing. You know, you're like, you seem to be hung up about the baby thing. Like,
I don't know what it is. That maybe that just, like, it's not even that I'm hung up on that, because it almost was irrelevant after a while, I found. Like, they could have replaced the baby with something else, something they need.
That's the thing. That's the magic of it, is that, like, even these two hardened convicts, that, like, they take the baby to get the reward money. You know, like John Goodman and the two brothers, and then they fall in love with the baby. Everybody who comes into contact with this baby, they're like, we're never going to give him up. He's little Merle, whatever it is, Ewell Jr. or like...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's...
And like, I usually love a good caper involving grown men and a baby. Baby's Day Out, for example.
Well, there's
a superior movie.
Fuck you. There's certainly element. You're getting a bit of Baby's Day Out at the start when he's in the giant room. Like, did that not tip you off when he's in the baby's room when it's like, what? Like, everything is like oversized.
I thought I was watching like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or something like this. And then in the end when they give the baby back, it's like, oh, it's you. You took the baby, didn't you? Well, see yourselves out. Like, you know, like, no one seemed to really care.
He cared. He fucking definitely cared. He didn't want five kids, though. Your man, Nathan Arizona, didn't want five kids.
I quite liked him.
He's good, wasn't he?
Yeah, I quite liked him.
He's kind of giving you that Fred Ward, God rest his soul vibe.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I'm sorry, because I was kind of thinking, like, I don't know what I can even say about it.
So you didn't like Cage in it at all?
Not at all.
Whoa.
I really didn't like Nicolas Cage in it. I was like, he's just giving me...
Don't say Connor.
He's giving me... What's your man's name?
Cameron Poe.
This is so much better. I was thinking that as well. A bit dumber.
Oh. It's so much more. And I really...
Sorry to cut you off. Do you think this is a better movie than Con Air?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it's a better movie than Con Air. It's a better movie than Con Air.
This is going to be a long
It's a better movie. It's not by a long shot.
Right? You have two movies in your hand. It's Friday night. You've got popcorn. You've got whatever. It's like, you've got Raising Arizona in one hand, and you've got Con Air in the other hand, and you're throwing Con Air away.
Is it me on my own? Is it me on my own?
No.
It's me and Faye. It's you with
three mates who haven't seen either movie.
Going with Con Air.
Okay.
For them.
That's mental. This is the most mental. This is more mental than you like in French Dispatch to me.
Why?
Because I mean, I don't... How can two... two people from the same species, two humans, have such different and have such similar tastes in so many other things, and just
but like it goes totally to show about you, ends. Like you're is, am frog I just is the wrong, crazy one? Frog is wrong, Andy.
I don't think so.
You are
I
wrong.
I don't think so.
For you to tell me that there's nothing in this movie, you like,
I really didn't.
Randall Tex Cobb, a.k.a. the lone biker of the apocalypse, a.k.a.
Who was he? What was his deal?
What do you mean?
Like, what was his shtick? What was he doing? Like, what was his goal?
Well, he says it. He's like a tracker or whatever. And, you know, he's tracking down the two guys that break out of jail.
So he's like a bounty hunter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he realizes when he's there, and he sees all the stuff that's going on TV. And then when he tracks the two lads down to H.I. and Ed's trailer,
yeah,
that the baby is there. And he goes and says, look, give me 50. The offer is 25. Give me 50 and I'll go get the baby. And then the man is like, oh, I'm not going to pay. He's like, well, then I'll just go get the baby and sell it to somebody else. Like, he's a fucking ruthless motherfucker. He's evil. He's pure evil. You know,
that's cool.
But that was the whole thing. That it was, you know, H.I. is having a dream. And he said he couldn't tell if it's a dream or a vision. That this guy, this evil is coming towards them. That we brought this upon ourselves by taking the child. And then he does appear.
There's one or two shots I thought that looked cool. I thought the thing of him coming out with the flames in the dream looked good. I thought when he was writing the letter and then it just like sort of like meshes between that and like the blue flames of the bike in the dark or whatever. Like, I thought that looked quite cool. I was like, I'm picking up what they're going for. But at the time when I was watching it, I was like, this looks like it was made by a director who just wandered in off the street.
That's like, such bullshit. The camera movement alone, like when they're that whole chase scene, when they're chasing him like through their houses, like the way the camera moves down, around, up, you know, where he runs into the house, goes downstairs into the study, back around, back up the stairs, and then they do the exact same thing with the police officer, or like when he's running through the supermarket and like everybody's like shooting at him. And I love how in Nicolas Cage is just, like, he's not freaking out, he's just like, oh, gotta go this way now, you know, pick up some more huggies. There's a bit where they have a camera like it's going towards the woman that's pushing the shopping trolley, and she's like, I was like, it makes sense because at this point in their lives, the Coens were living with Sam Raimi and...
Your boy.
Yeah, my boy. And they were living with Sam Raimi. They're very good friends. I think the Coens worked on The Evil Dead with him.
Right.
And that shot is like something that Sam Raimi is known for. That like trademark like camera movement, and you're like, oh yeah, they probably were like talking about this shit together, like they Holly Hunter was living with them as well, and I think, or they were all friends. Frances McDormand, who plays the wife of whatever man's name from Friends, Bing.
I love the fact that you have to use these analogies, like, or use these references for me. Like, he was the guy in Friends.
I'd say Sam McMurray. Well, I can't remember what his name. What was Chandler's boss's name?
I don't know. Can't think of it. Yeah,
but Doug.
Doug. Yes, that's what it is. Doug.
Yeah. And that was
something else too.
Do you think that whole scene with him was funny? Where he's like, "My sperm is gone," you know, and he's like talking about all the stuff.
Felt. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Well, just even like him being the motor mouth and H.I. being like, he's like, before you know it, you'll be home. He's like, I am home already. Or like telling all like the Polak jokes. No, I'm telling it wrong. And then he's like, we're swingers, man. Like, we swing.
I've seen that.
He's a Hellcat. Yeah.
it was whatever about the tone of it. I was just
cartoon. Get on board, man.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just got on board too late with it. But
the fight scene between John Goodman and Nicolas Cage, where it's literally like the place is too small for them to have a proper fight. So they're like, it's that to me is like the most cartoony. Where it's like, he tries to do something, he gets his arm caught and something, Nicolas Cage able to punch him, and then he like puts his hands up to do something, like skims his knuckles on the roof of the thing, he's like, and then like he pushes him over, he's about to like elbow, and his elbow goes through the window, he's like, you know, like it's all this crazy stuff. Yeah, that was so good. Like that, the set pieces in this movie were amazing, and even the end with the whole the robbing of the bank. He's like, everybody freeze, get down on the floor. And it's like, well, which is it?
Which is it? I told you not to use my name. Like, yeah, like, we're using code names.
Like, not even your code name. And then they get the money and they're like driving away. It's like they forgot the baby. Like, again. Like they've got the baby, and then it explodes. The blue on them. It's like, take us with you.
Yeah, like those concepts.
It's manic.
But yeah, it is manic.
I loved it for all its mania.
It's zany. It is madcap. It was just mental. It was like
fun, right?
It was mad. I didn't have fun though.
No,
and I was ready to have fun. I was thinking, okay, yeah, lovely. Nicolas Cage and an 80s Nicolas Cage. Oh, interesting. I was ready, and it just didn't take me with it.
I thought it might have resonated a little bit. It certainly resonated with me thinking about when I had just become a father and like him being like, oh, I have to change everything about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I know that there was still a very much like a push and pull within me of like, well, I want to stay up late or I want to go drinking or whatever. And it's like that whole thing that you can't do that all the time now.
Yeah,
still parts of me that I have
to do.
It's
that constant battle.
Oh, 100%.
That we all have, yes. I know that one, all right.
So,
but did you, like, were you surprised that this was my reaction to it? Like, or
I didn't think it would be this bad, honestly. I thought you might like it. I thought you might like it because it is so, like, out there. You're like, oh, okay. Like,
is this, can I ask you, is this the most disappointing one? Is this the most disappointing reaction?
This is pretty disappointing.
or is with Thor?
No,
the first Thor episode.
No, I mean the first Thor one. I think I was probably I like it more than most.
Right,
you know,
right,
we were like, "This is shy." You know, some I know other people share that opinion. I don't know how many more would share the same opinion of this movie. Which I don't think anybody that I know that has seen it would be like. No, it gave me nothing, like, not good acting, not good direction, not good comedy, like, all the...
That probably really drove me mad.
Because I think it's brilliantly directed.
I will be the first to admit that I'm not a connoisseur.
But even, like, there's so much...
I just know what I like on TV.
But, like, even, like, if you... It is like a Roadrunner cartoon at times. Look at my background there. It's, like, fucking cactuses and there's flames behind this guy's motorbike and there's a blue sky.
If it wasn't set in Arizona, it would have had even less for me. Because I loved the look of Arizona. And, you know... But that's nothing. Like, that's just, like, where they... On location, but...
But they blow shit up and all as well. Like, proper...
Very good way they killed the bounty hunter. Where he just, like, pulls the grenade and he just fucking explodes.
But also...
That was quite good.
What, you're saying, like, no heart. Like, HI is even saying sorry. He's like, I'm sorry. You know, for doing that, like, you know, where he would, he's within his rights. Kill or be killed, like, and he's like, you'd be within your rights to be like, eat shit, asshole, or, you know, a different movie would do that. Like, he's like, such a good hearted man, even though he's a fuck up, he's like, I'm sorry, you know, and then this guy explodes.
I just think they'd have gone too far down the other way for you to say, well, doesn't that give you heart? Because that's just like...
But he always had heart. He always had heart. Like, throughout it. Like, for him and her... Like,
but his motives, I felt, were wrong.
He would do anything to make his wife happy, though. Like, he would literally do anything. He would steal a child to make his wife happy. That's it.
I don't think I got over the stealing of the child... As the concept of the
movie.
But
the child
and it was
fine.
So blasé. Yeah. It was like they
went
to rob a bank.
I just didn't get it.
They
have a child with
set
them.
Set me off. I'm like, what?
They're robbing a bank and bringing a baby in with them. Like,
I didn't know in advance that it was going to be a zany cartoon.
But like, you shouldn't have to know if you're just
watching
it.
That's why I was so particularly struck by that being the plot of like, what?
Mm.
You know, like, so maybe I just didn't get over that. And it's funny because if I'd have watched it, probably if I'd have watched it with you, I would have known where to laugh. But it seemed very, like, obviously it was a bit dated because it was 1987. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seemed very dated to me. It seemed like a very, like, you know, the way you'd watch, like, an old movie.
Yeah, but I could still not necessarily them,
a classic.
If you're watching a Alfred Hitchcock movie or something, if you're watching Psycho, yeah. you could you not appreciate how good it is?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the classics, yes.
But this is a classic. It's a modern classic.
The ones that stand the test of time.
These do stand the test of time.
Is this a beloved movie? Yes. Like, among
Edgar Wright's favorite movie of all time.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
I would say, like, the guy who wrote this book, Age of Cage.
Okay, you don't have to show me every time.
There he is.
Yeah,
Keith Phipps.
Great name.
I mean, it's his name. But they were. He was on a podcast I was listening to, and himself and the two hosts, they were doing their top five Nicolas Cage performances, and Keith Phipps and one of the hosts had Raising Arizona as number one.
Wow.
And I'd be very interested to see where it lands with me as we go on this series. Because I loved it. I thought it was great.
Wow.
Now, honey, come on.
Did you like it more than you thought you would this time around?
I was excited. When you were going excited to watch it this time around.
Okay.
Because I remember in my head, I was like lukewarm on it. So I was like, I wonder, you know...
And is that why it made? Because I was thinking, like, we could have made this 10. This could have been sliced off the top.
No, I think you have to. You have to least have one 80s Cage in there. Like, I had people texting me saying, are you going to do Moonstruck?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I'll sell Cantwell on watching Moonstruck.
Hang on, let me see. Moonstruck, 1987. Okay, he was busy. Let me just see. Romantic comedy drama film. The film follows Loretta Castaneda, a widowed Italian-American woman who falls in love with her fiancé's hot-tempered, estranged younger brother. Right. Huh. I mean...
Hey, enable screen sharing there, will you?
Yeah, okay. How do I do it? Multiple participants. There you go.
Okay, cool.
Is that it?
So I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
And we're going to watch a clip of Moonstruck.
Okay.
Nick Cage in Moonstruck.
Okay.
It's like a minute long, okay? And we can talk about it.
Okay.
And see. Because somebody was saying, tell me you're going to do Moonstruck. And I'm like, I don't think I can sell Cantwell on that.
I appreciate the fact that I'm in your consideration.
I mean, here we are. Okay. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see.
Cool. Okay. So, let's go.
Can't hear it.
You can't hear it? No?
No.
Oh, God damn it.
Hang on, I'll just put it on mine as well. Hang on. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Nothing is anybody's fault, but...
Looks good, doesn't it? Happen.
Hey, it looks great.
Look. This wood...
It's got a wooden hand?
Yeah, it's fake.
5 years ago, I was engaged to be married, and Johnny came in here... And he ordered
that chest hair.
And I said, oh, okay, some bread. And I put my hand in the slicer, and it got caught because I wasn't paying attention. The slicer chewed off my hand. It's funny because when my fiance found out about it, when she found out that I'd been maimed, she left me for another man.
She looks good there, too, didn't she?
Yeah. Johnny?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, but that's not Johnny's fault.
I don't care! I ain't no freaking monument to justice! I lost my hand! I lost my bride! Johnny has his hand! Johnny has his bride! You want me to take my heartbreak, put it away, and forget?
He's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's giving me more there. Okay.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
I'll tell you what. You should have gone with Moonstruck.
No way, man. There's no way.
That gave me more.
Okay.
Then
I heard, I have, to be honest, I haven't watched it in full, it's properly.
Is that seen as a classic as well?
I mean, Cher won the Oscar. I think they like had like 3 Oscar winners from it. Like it's
wow.
Yeah, it's deemed as a pretty fucking good movie. Like,
I think I would have preferred it. I think, wow. But I can see on paper why. You went with this one.
Of course, like, you know.
Because this is more fun.
This is it, right up your alley. Theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you expect
this
from
is,
me here?
This is lighter. He won't. This isn't too much for him to digest.
Yeah.
But look, I'm going to say it didn't work. It didn't work
well,
out.
Okay. Well, can you give me. Jesus. Can you give me a rating?
I would give it a 5 out of 10.
5?
Yeah, give it a 5. And that's been generous.
That's mental.
Because I didn't care for any of it. But I give it a 5.
Hmm.
How about you?
I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. Coen Brothers are always a slam dunk for me, but this one was... Oh boy, it was
smash the net.
Yes,
for this. Yeah.
Really, I thought it was great. I really thought it was great.
Well, look, I'm sorry, Terry. I feel bad when I don't give you the discourse.
No, I think this was a good discourse though between somebody who my appreciation has jumped up and your one started off rock bottom. So I think you know, I wish you could get more on board with that whole chase scene. When she drives off in the car, it's like burned into my brain of like him.
Yeah,
just something about the way they shot it, where it's like
you see her getting out through the window, like
no, but when she drives off and then he runs off on foot, and then like the clerk starts shooting at him, and then the cop is chasing, and like the way they shoot the like bits when people are in the cars, and it's just like blackness all around them. It's like they're on like a small theater stage.
Like a stage, yeah.
And then like it cuts to like when they get out of the car, things come into focus again, or it's, you know, you're outside a house or whatever. That whole like 10-minute set piece, I was like, that's fucking unbelievable. Like, and even then when they're in the car bickering and he's like, take a left here. And then like that's a fucking great gag. He's directing her back to pick up the huggies. Right, you know, right. Like, and he's like, even though they're still on the run from the fucking cops or whatever like that, like, it's so good.
Yeah,
like,
it just went over my head that I mean,
it's a shame.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
Right. Will we get our plugs in?
Yes. Before we do, can I ask what the next movie is?
The next one, we're jumping into the 90s.
All right, my decade.
1996. We're skipping over his Oscar-winning Leaving Las Vegas, because I don't think you'll like it.
Okay.
And we're going to the island of Alcatraz.
Yes.
We're revisiting The Rock, Andy.
That's what I wanted. Now we're talking. Now I'm on board.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
Fucking brilliant. Now, I have seen, a full disclosure, we have reviewed it on a podcast.
Previously,
but it was about maybe 5-6 years ago. I don't really remember a lot of it, but I do remember liking it.
Here's what's not to like. You got Sean Connery, Nick Cage. Cool. Yeah, whatever. Then you get Ed Harris, Michael Bean, bringing the heat as well in the supporting roles. It's Michael Bay's second ever movie.
Fucking class. I'll enjoy every second of that.
I think you'll get it on Disney Plus, I think, at the moment.
Geez, Disney Plus is really...
It's good for these... The 90s stuff. They have a lot of... Because Disney have bought Fox and all that. Like, you know, you get a lot of stuff. Watch The Rock. Full movie, Disney Plus.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Well, look.
Let's see who else is in here. Oh, it's starting to play for me. I don't want it to play. Details. Who's in it? Forget it. This stupid app.
Excellent. While Terry's dealing with the app there, I'm going to tell you all about where you can find us, folks. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter. Instagram, What's So Great About Pod, and Twitter, WSGA Pod. You will find links on our Instagram to everything we do, including latest episodes. some Patreon freebies, some video podcasts, and the Patreon itself.
Ooh, the Patreon. Thank you, Andy, for... We got two tiers. Two tiers if you want to sign up. We have our Hungry Hearts tier, which is the low, low fee of pay whatever you want. A euro, I think, is the lowest. And for that, you get 4 episodes per month, bonus extra. Style. Bonus style. You get, you know, it'll be... Our Put It In H is exclusively on the Patreon now. So that's 1 per month. You get maybe a top 5 here or there. Maybe a Pitch It In H. Maybe we're making each other bespoke playlists. If you are a member of our... What are we going to call you? Smashed Hats? Our Players Club? You know, we've had many names for you guys.
The $5 tier.
Yeah. Well, if you're a Patreon member, you can pitch us some stuff to do, you know, send us ideas. We're very open. We just did like top 5 Seinfeld episodes as requested by some of our lovely listeners, our backers over there. But Andy mentioned our $5 tier. That's where you get exactly what I've said there. Oh, and plus you get this on both tiers, all the back catalogue of our previous paywalled stuff. So you get our What's So Great About MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About 90s Action, and What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies. But also, you get access to our video content there, where it's literally, you get to see some of the stuff that, you know, might play as well.
I feel like you're really sorry to cut across you there, Terry, yet again. But I feel like it's only through editing the videos that we do in the studio. Nice high quality camera. I feel like you really gain a little bit extra there. You see a few looks, a few like you know expressions that really add, I think, to the podcast. So you can see also on YouTube, if you find us What's So Great About Podcast on YouTube, you'll see a few of them. That we've put up there, but I think it adds to it, so it's worth checking that out if you are there.
If you are a $5 backer, a big shot, if you will, and you also get access to a monthly bonus Q&A just for you $5 backers. Q&A, yep. You know, you got Q's, we got A's.
They're always fun.
Yeah. But if you can't afford to pay whatever you want, you know, we did say it was, you know, it could be a euro, whatever.
I mean, if you can afford 25 cents a week. I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, what is that about, huh?
Well, then you can do me something else. You can give me a rating and review. Now, Andy.
Derry.
Did you know that Nathan Arizona had 5 children?
Oh, okay.
Quintuplets.
Very good.
So I want a quintuple star review, or in layman's terms, a 5-star review.
He's done it.
This one was like an open goal. Just
like taking babies
from a baby.
Baby.
Bed.
Yeah. Oh, we are pros.
Yeah, I tell you. So yeah, give me a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, please. Helps us get back in the chart, which I saw we fucking smashed it this month.
Smashed it. Back and in. thank you for anyone who gives us a mention. Thank you. I'm gonna single you out there, Neil. Thank you very much for saying the best podcast around in his eyes. And he put it in writing. That's where it really counts. Yeah. Put it in writing where other people can see it. It's no good telling us that.
Internet Tell is written them. In pen. You know that? So it'll be it's there for posterity. It's out there. Anybody can see it. Yeah. Thank you, Neil. That was great. Now just the rest of you crumb bums need to, you know, just give it a little clickety clack on the old keyboard. And if you've done it already, you know, I'm not talking to you. You know?
I'm not talking to you, asshole.
No, as in like you're good. The rest of these crumb bums, you're not one of the crumb bums I'm talking about. Oh Jesus, Andy, this parachute is a knapsack.
Oh well, listen,
we're gonna wrap it up.
Thank you very much for the support. We hope that you'll stick with us through this Nick Cage, and I'll tell you what, if you agree with me, tell us what did you think of Raising Arizona.
Don't tell Andy, tell both of us. Put it to the Twitter page, Instagram page, whatever. He keeps telling me all these people that agree, but they're too scared to come out. Bollocks,
don't mind them, folks. I run the social. I will be the one to welcome you in with loving arms. Don't let the Terrys of the world to tell you that you can't say that this is a shite movie. All right,
you can say it. If you do say it, though, you should have a hard look at yourself. You want to be like this guy?
Nobody does. Nobody likes Milhouse. Yeah. All right. On that note, I'm out of here.
We will see you next week in sunny San Francisco.
Boom.
Oh. Almost left the meeting.